VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today, though another horrendous decision coming forth this morning from the United States Supreme Court, as a majority of the court struck down the Louisiana state law that requires doctors performing abortions to have admission privileges at hospitals within a certain radius of the abortion center. Again, we see Chief Justice John Roberts joining forces with liberal justices. And, you know, folks, it's amazing. In Louisiana, all doctors at outpatient surgical facilities must have admitting privileges at a local hospital. That is all doctors and centers except the created, carved out exception for abortion centers. It's my opinion that once again our Constitution has been set aside for a political agenda. John Roberts has talked about stare decisis, and this has already been determined by the court. If he had his way, we'd still have slavery going here in the United States as well. We've seen Supreme Court decisions overturned in the past, and it's high time that we overturn this war on the unborn as well in our nation. That's my opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, today, and I'm sure this will come up in our discussion, but other issues as well, our focus is on our nation, the United States of America, our Christian heritage. The Liberty Bell, which, by the way, has not been banned yet, still bears a verse from Leviticus 25, verse 10, that says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all inhabitants thereof." And yet, this very liberty is under attack today. How is it that we've so soon forgotten how this nation was formed and why it was formed? Is there a way of going back, or are we at a point of no return? Joining us today on Crosstalk, we welcome Dr. Marshall Foster, founder and president of the World History Institute. They're a nonprofit educational foundation dedicated to teaching the lessons of history, which have brought freedom and prosperity to individuals and nations worldwide. Dr. Foster is a best-selling author and speaker, and we'd like to welcome you here to the program Crosstalk today.
Jim, great to be with you.
Dr. Foster, you're conducting interviews on the book Land That I Love by Bobby Ames. We'll be talking about lots of topics that that Bobby has put into the book here, and we'll talk about some of those specifics. But if you would just give us some insight into who Bobby Ames is and her quest to restore America's Christian heritage.
Yes, Bobby is one of the founding mothers of the Christian history movement, the modern movement that has restored America's Christian history to the American people. It began with Bernhard and Rosalie Slater in the 1950s and 60s. I came on board in 1976 when I met the two ladies in San Francisco. Bobby, by then, I think, had already met them, and she got into Christian education in the South. She started her own Christian school, a fantastic principal approach Christian school, using the Founding Fathers' philosophy of education, that of Noah Webster, and actually taught thousands of students over a 35-year period. Has become a commentator then. With her articles that she's done since and has written a lot of things, but this book is a compendium of her wisdom through the years on America's Christian history, how America was built, how it fell apart, how we became merely a socialist country. Mm. We're on the verge of it right now. And then how can we restore not only our Christian history now, but how can we restore our nation?
Yeah.
We're at a nonviolent civil war setup right now. And it's very sad that we've come to this place where we've allowed this to happen. But, you know, sometimes God allows things to deteriorate until we, the people, wake up and realize the preciousness of freedom.
Yeah, and indeed, I believe all of us could say we're witnessing one of the greatest attacks on our patriotism, on our freedom and liberty in this country as we've known it. What has brought us to this point, Dr. Foster?
Well, this has been a long-standing fight. I was debating Jane Fonda on the free speech platform at USC back in 1970 when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. And then when I went to Berkeley and spent two summers there during the riots of 70 and 71, I met all the leaders of the radical left, which is now the cultural Marxist socialist leaders of America who, along with Fonda and many others of those early settlers of the SDS movement, etc., they were basically communist provocateurs who moved into the anti-war movement in the 1960s. And their goal was to overthrow America as we know it. And they knew that it had to be a generational thing. They began this 80 years ago in a generational march that began right after the Russian Revolution to move into media, education, religion, the arts, and especially education, to take it over in such a way that you could rewrite the heritage of America, cause the American people to hate their own country, or cause it to be divided such that they're on the verge of, or have a civil war in the midst of it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
There would be, as Karl Marx said, we can come along, people without a heritage are easily controlled, he said, and then we can march in, and with the battle between the bourgeois and the proletariat, and we'll move in and take over and get our DACAs, and everybody else will be enslaved. And that's what's happened in socialist country after socialist country in the world. We're on the verge of moving there only because we as a people have allowed our children to forget our Christian heritage and forget who we are as a people, and to be guilt-shamed into giving it up, to cancel history, with this cancel history movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the movement is all about, is to destroy it, take it away. It's been a socialist ploy. It has nothing to do with racism in America in its ultimate form. Yes, there's been racism. It is an issue. It's got to be dealt with. But that's just an excuse that has been well-structured through time, interestingly enough, in an election year, interestingly with a developed pandemic, whether it was developed or scheduled or what. But it all is happening in an election
year,
right?
Yeah.
And all these things are coming together so that the people are confused, that the people are at home, and the people don't know. And then they've got a media that's 95% on the side of a false view of history. I can't say it loud enough that it's untruthful. It's a lie. And the lie will bring you to bondage. The truth will set you free. If you believe this lie, and people, most of them sit in, even Christians, get the vast majority, over 90% of what they know from history from just watching their social media on their iPhone.
Yeah.
90%.
Yeah, it is, and it's staggering. And history books have been rewritten, and that which was known as truth is cast aside. We see the pulling down of statues. I know in this book here, A Land That I Love, there's a whole chapter on how do you conquer a culture, and the answer provided is to focus on our nation's children. And we're seeing that systematically has been conducted, and now those children are becoming young adults and middle-aged adults. There are those, Dr. Foster, who started out espousing a value-neutral education. Is such a thing possible?
No, of course not. All education is religious, has a religious foundation, as does all politics and all issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because down to the core issue of a person's heart is his worldview, and his worldview is formed by his religious conviction. So if you teach... Yeah, you can't teach neutrality in the field of education because it's all centered in your faith aspect of who you are, what is your moral base, what is your compass, what do you believe in truth, and from that you build. Western civilization was built on Christian education. There were no colleges or universities around the world until Christianity arose in the Middle Ages in Europe. And there was no really explosion of education until the Bible was unleashed in the 16th century. And Bobby goes into this all in her book. She's got chapter after chapter on how this all developed in America, how it was nowhere else in the world for all these years, and then how socialism swept into the campuses and took them over, beginning at the college level and moving right down to the kindergarten through the progressive public school textbooks. And so, you know, this is what's damaged our country, is this slow progression, whereas most of us is just good old boy Americans. We did 4th of July, we love America, and we love each other. My kid plays ball and goes heck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he graduates and plays ball, and that's a good school, and we're all going to be good. But when Joe graduates from college, he's a socialist.
Yeah.
No longer wants to come back to the Baptist church of his father. He no longer wants to have the faith of his father, and he no longer believes that the founding of America was a miracle. I mean, to miss that one fact is to make you hate your country. It's just a chance thing. Let's just turn it over. Why not get something new?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are.
Did our founders ever envision a time such as what we're going through right now?
Oh, they envisioned it very fast. They felt, many of them, because most of them believed in the sin nature of man. They knew the history very well because they were students of history. They knew that not since the ancient Hebrews in 1400 B.C., who built a Hebrew republic that lasted 380 years, other than that, in the history of mankind, there had never been a nation that had built a republic. And so they did not expect the republic to last very long unless the people kept a strong spiritual foundation.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington talked about it in his farewell address. Religion and morality are our only true supports. You know, and you can go through again and again the founding fathers. Jefferson thought we'd have a revolution every generation just to keep the republic alive because he believed there would be so many enemies coming from Europe and other places to destroy it because tyrants are the rule of the world through the ages. Over 95%, 96% of all the people that have ever lived in the history of mankind have never known any degree of liberty, have never chose anything about what to do with their lives. And it's only in America and a few of the countries that are nurtured by it that there became liberty over the last 200 years. That is the story that is the miracle of history. It's the political miracle of history. And now we want to destroy it. They literally want to take it apart brick by brick. And this great awakening that I've been praying for, you and I have been praying for and working for, I believe it will come because I think the American people are beginning to wake up with the riots, and now they're taking down the monuments.
Yeah, yeah.
They're beginning to realize that this is not just about the killing of a black man, which was totally illegitimate and bad. It was about a much larger agenda to take down the history, no matter what it is, good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah,
and to start over with a Marxist state.
And we'll be developing that even further here just a minute from a break. But I think also foundational for a discussion, Dr. Foster, how do you define a true American? I'm not talking about someone born on American soil, but one that is a true American, a true patriot. Define that person.
Wow. Well, to be an American, and in our American society, we're a pluralistic society. So it has nothing to do with race. Even in our founding documents, even though there was the terrible plague of slavery still in America, it was true still around the world in those days, 240 years ago, but they did put in their founding documents, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and so right on through from the Declaration through the Constitution, we see a definition of what they meant. See, a person is an American by an idea, not by a race, not by a creed, not by a financial status. That's an idea of freedom that is built upon the Judeo-Christian faith.
We're going to take a quick break here. Dr. Marshall Foster is our guest today, founder and president of the World History Institute. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was Genesis written as poetry?
No, it wasn't, Chris, but this has been a favorite claim of liberals subtly indicating that Genesis was a work of art and not meant to be taken as literal history. But this has been shown to be false. At the Institute for Creation Research, we've investigated this claim. It was found by statistical analysis of the verb tenses used in the Genesis account of creation that it's about the least poetic passage in all the Old Testament. It was written as sober narrative history and was meant to be understood by its readers as history. Of course, even if it were poetry, it doesn't mean it's not to be believed. Who says God can't write with flair? But he wrote Genesis as a sober historical account, and we need to believe it as such. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Dr. Marshall Foster, our guest today, founder and president of the World History Institute. He's a best-selling author and speaker. Matter of fact, he's written one of the promotionals for the book Land That I Love, Restoring Our Christian Heritage by Bobby Ames. Just before we continue some of our discussion, Dr. Foster, how is it our listeners can take advantage and acquire this book?
Well, of course, they can get it on Amazon, or they can go directly to NorchcogPublishing.org, and they can receive it right there from the publisher. But it's Land That I Love by Bobby Ames. I can't recommend it highly enough. Every family should have this book as a reference point to the questions that people get about everything from separation of church and state to, you know, everything about America and how it fell apart and how to save it.
Again,
chapter after chapter. We're talking about 50 chapters
here. Yeah, it's huge, and over 300 pages, and lots of notes that are available in there at nordskogpublishing.com. That's NORDSKOG, nordskogpublishing.com. Dr. Foster, we're seeing our country is turning. We're talking about the doing away of our history, not just rewriting it, but ignoring it, destroying it. And we've turned on Christopher Columbus. Statues of him are being torn down. We've got parks bearing his name have been renamed, or those who are trying to rename Columbus, Ohio right now. What have we gotten wrong about Christopher Columbus?
Everything. Imagine 510 years ago, whenever it was, 20 years ago, the whole world had no understanding of the rest of the world. Everything in Europe was simply Eurocentric. And suddenly this one man with his fate through the years and gets those three little ships together and plots through the ocean. And he discovers and really helps develop the new world. That the result is a changing of the whole world, a world that lived in purity and despair and poverty and with no hope. New opportunities were going to open up on that continent that have never opened up anywhere else in the world. It was because of the faith of Christopher Columbus, a Christian himself. Now, you know, again, they hit him for the fact that he brought some people back, and he did bring some Indians back as slaves to Spain or as examples. He dealt with different tribes. One tribe was very friendly. The first one that he met, second tribe that he came in contact with, went to war with him and killed all of his people after he left on that first voyage. And they were the Carib tribe. And that tribe is the tribe that ate little children and killed all the other tribes. So, you know, all this has been made into Christopher Columbus being some kind of 20th century slave trader. Go back 500 years and live in his shoes and live in what he did and what he accomplished over a period of those different voyages back again and again. It was a four different to the new world and tracking and developing it so that we could have America today.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are complaining and tearing down the statue would have no freedom, would have no liberty, would be living under some warlord in some tribe in some hut somewhere in the world without Christopher Columbus coming along and opening the door for freedom.
There's so much in history I wish we had time to discuss today, which we won't, but we've seen oppression in the past, and in response, we saw a document that was drawn up called the Declaration of Independence. Are we in danger of becoming the very government that we sought freedom from?
Yeah, in fact, I think we have, pretty much. Our central government was never meant to be this big. And it is not a matter of Democrat or Republican. They've both done it. The Democrats have done much worse. But the Republicans, because so many of them have been bought off by the establishment, they have believed the lie that you can have more and more power from the left and that you can just take that power away from the states and away from the cities and do it by bribing them with money. And the result is that we've lost the whole concept of a self-governing republic. We still have it on the books. The Constitution still calls for it. The Constitution has been ignored. So, yes, we're really fighting two enemies today.
So,
we're fighting external socialism as well as our internal ignorance of what a limited.
Mm-hmm. Earlier I asked you, you know, what is an American? Define that kind of person. We know that there were 56 signers to this Declaration of Independence that we just spoke of. What stands out to you most about them? I know they all have their individual stories, but this was very far from being a popularity contest, wasn't it?
Well, exactly. And every one of them knew that when they put their name on the line of the Declaration of Independence that they were going to be dead men, drawn and quartered, and their remains scattered abroad so that no one would ever remember them if they lost this war. And many of them, 12 of them died in the war, most of them lost their fortunes. They gave their all. They gave their all to this. And, of course, so did those who fought and died in that revolution. And I call it in my new book, it's going to come out later, The Righteous Revolution. It's going to be coming out later this year or next spring. And that book is going to show how this is a part of a greater plan of they did it God's way. This was not a rebellion against good government. This was a stand among people who were willing to stand for what they knew to be God's truth, God's way to bring liberty to people. And they were willing to sacrifice their own lives so their children could have freedom. And when I define what it means to be an American, I believe the American ideal, if we want to, there'll be no America as we knew it or know it today if the American people don't have this within their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that God gave us America.
Yeah.
His word is the foundation to justice. And that from that foundation came Magna Carta. From Magna Carta came all of the other great documents of freedom that led up to the Declaration and the Constitution. We must believe in those fundamental principles and live them out in our own lives. You can't force a republic. A republic disintegrates as soon as the people start eating other people's food, meaning they go after other people's property, and they start killing other people. As soon as you get to the point where you've got a civil war, it's to the point where your republic is gone.
Wow.
So we have to think of our own self. Are we self-governing? Is our own church, our own community? Are we starting at the community level? Are we uniting as a community? Not black and white, rich or poor, but all of us together. It's an idea of freedom. And that liberty is for all of us, and it must be maintained through our Christian character.
Yeah, and this Christian character is such that there are many who are trying to divorce us from any notion that our country had any kind of Christian character or Christian heritage. How do you respond to such an individual? Because we're seeing that just a rising, sound coming forth, colleges, universities, but the media, whoever it may be, just trying to divorce us from what our true heritage is.
Yeah, it is. You know, I've been writing about that for 40 years, but the new book was going to detail it all the way from Moses through Patrick of Ireland through Alfred. We'll take it all the way through. Bobby, in her book, takes it and takes us back to show us so clearly how our founders, almost all of them, came from traditional, biblically based Christian churches, and that they all had faith in God. There was not an atheist among them, but they believed in these principles, the principles that had been laid down by Christians before them, those pilgrims that had come over, and the ones from Jamestown, and the early settlers, and each of the colonies had developed each of their constitutions based upon the Bible. And they took the Ten Commandments as the basis of their law. That was the basis for each of the colonies. And then when they came together, they didn't do away with their Christian understanding. They put it in to everything they said and everything they did. The American Revolution was full of fasting and prayer and dependence upon God. And you can see the compare and contrast between that and the French Revolution. Oh, and you know, and the English enemy that was out to rape and destroy. For the most part, our people were Christian people, for the most part. And they were fighting for a higher cause. And that was the liberty of all people.
Well, some of the chapters in this book, Len, that I love, are about George Washington. But again, all over this country, as you know, we're seeing statues of him being defaced. What was the character and what was the influence of George Washington upon our nation?
Well, it was such that without George Washington, there would have been no America. Without America, there is no freedom. Without America, all of those demonstrators that have gone out by the hundreds of thousands in the last 2 months would have been dead or in a gulag. somewhere in Siberia as they were in Russia. So George Washington was a man of immense character, a man of great wisdom, even though he's self-educated. Of course, he had been trained as a warrior, but for most of his life, he was a farmer. But he came out of retirement, and he saw that the British had gone astray and that they were becoming tyrannical. They had given up their own Magna Carta. They were not obeying their own laws. So that the Americans had to take a stand. And it was the appreciation and love for George that brought the colonists together. Both in the Revolution, without him, there would have been no army success. And then afterwards, he was the most respected, most loved man by far, to the extent that there would have been no constitutional convention without him. He had to go with Galt riding his horse, riding on his belly for 300 miles, because he knew that if he didn't get there, nobody would show up.
Wow.
And so they loved him. They loved him because he was a man of principle, a man of truth. Did he have the problem of owning slaves? Yes, but he thought slavery was wrong. We've got to do away with that. We've got to deal with that. And he was all a part of that, and a part of it, and eliminated in his will. So he was a part of the generation that set the stage for the abolition of slavery for all time, when it had gone on for 5,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
So let's don't look back and use presentism to make George Washington into some kind of, civil rights activist in the 21st century. He's back three centuries ago, and he's having to deal with what he's been given, what he's been dealt with, and what he's grown up in. But with sins which he had, all of us do. But incredible. He was the greatest man of this century, perhaps one of the greatest men of all time, and has changed the world more than Cracker and any other man besides Moses.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, friends, well, there's so many we could talk about, and a lot of information included in the book Land That I Love. And again, the publisher is Nordskog Publishing at nordskogpublishing.com, Nordskog Publishing.com. I'd like to hit another contemporary issue that we're seeing so much, and that is just the desecration of the flag today. Our flag is something many are despising. Increasingly, we see those taking a knee. We've seen it used as a mop rag in city government. We've even seen it set aflame. Tell us, if you could, briefly about the origin of Old Glory, our American flag. And certainly the concern for how many are treating it today.
Well, she deals with it in her chapter, starting on page 73. And she's got a whole chapter on the origin of Old Glory. To tell you the truth, I haven't reviewed this chapter for this interview. But basically, it started and developed in Boston, and then there was a lady that put it together in her home, and her name was Betsy Ross. But it was conceptual. It wasn't just a flag of power, but it was conceptual, built around purity and loyalty, and ultimately, people have given it Christian themes in Christian meetings of blood, the sacrifice of Christ, and all kinds of things with the red and the white and blue. But the point is that this flag represented. Let's get back to our point.
Mm-hmm.
They thought this was very important to have a symbol. It goes along with the Declaration, which is more of an internal symbol. This is an external symbol.
Tell you what, we're up against a break. We'll come back and talk about the significance of the flag right after the break, and a bit on socialism as well. We're going to cover, listeners, before we open phone lines today. Dr. Marshall Foster, our guest, back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
VCY invites you to obtain an audio recording of the Gospel according to John as narrated by Brad Canterbury.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
John's Gospel, presenting the words of Jesus, the way of salvation.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever...
You can share this as a gift or for listening over and over on your daily commute. VCY America is making available this narrated Gospel of John on two CDs for a donation of $12. Call during business hours 1-800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829.
But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Dr. Marshall Foster with us here today in Crosstalk. We're discussing a book, Land That I Love, Restoring Our Christian Heritage by Bobby Ames. And Dr. Foster, having worked with Bobby Ames and certainly well-versed in the heritage of America, we were just discussing the flag here before the break and the symbolism. We're just seeing such a disrespect for our flag across our nation today. And some have said, well, I can't have respect for a country that does X, Y, and Z. Let's talk about that flag, if you could, Dr. Foster, and what this flag, what does this symbolize for this nation?
Well, it symbolizes the internal greatness of America. And it's something that is, because it's not like the Soviet Union, which was a phony dictatorship, or like so many places where the world is built around a pyramid and one pharaoh. America was an idea. It was an idea that we the people, under God, we could have our own liberty, our own freedom, but we would agree to elect representatives who represent us. This concept was unique in the history of the world, and it came to be in America through the struggles and the sacrifices of millions of people through thousands of years. So the Founding Fathers understood that. So the American flag meant a lot because it was the symbol. It was the standard. It's what you held up when you had to go to war. It's what you had to deal with when you died, and they would take the soldier and put the flag over the top. So it's very, very important because it's the symbol of our internal most fundamental values. You burn the flag, you're burning the very fundamental values of what America stands for. That's the symbol of it, and it's very, very bad to do that, and it shows, when this becomes commonplace, it shows nobody cares anymore about what we used to be, and that's the sure sign that we'll all be in tyranny soon.
Wow. Now, you've talked a couple times in this interview about the push towards socialism in our modern-day culture, and we know that many college age, those in their 20s, those who've been through the system within the last decade or so, think that socialism is the next best thing to slice bread. What does a socialist America look like?
You have to look far. You can go to Argentina. You could go to Cuba. You could go to many of the states of South America that have never really escaped socialism. You've got China that has now concentration camps set up for millions of people, and has shut down Christianity again to the place where all the churches are being shut and people are being thrown in prison camps. You could go to the Soviet Union, of course, as the example, with over 50 million of their own people being killed, now killing at least, 60 million of their own, in the 1970s with the Cultural Revolution. And so, what you have is Marxism and socialism are tied together at the hip. Socialism is a term that has been used in America as they took the Marxist ideology out of the Soviet Union and from the East and brought it to the West through Columbia University, through the Frankfurt Institute in Germany in 1924 and the 1930s. And then John Dewey brought it in through the progressive public schools and reinterpreted socialism as to be this kind and gentle movement that was going to redistribute the wealth in a loving way back to the people that had been stolen from them by these rich robber barons that took away all the money, and the poor people suffered and died as a result. And that was the argument that Marx had made in the 19th century when he was writing his Das Kapital. But the reality of the 20th century is you had to come up with a new twist on that. Mm-hmm. And so, especially when you're dealing with a republic, and so you wanted to use guilt trips. And so you've guilt tripped people, that you brainwash people, you don't present the other side. You don't show that a unique constitutional republic built upon biblical law and biblical principle, as was in the Hebrew Republic, as was in the early republics of Holland and Scotland, and so a few other places in the world, we had liberty and justice for all. It wasn't perfect. But you had a free enterprise system that has brought more prosperity, more education, more freedom to more people by far, 100 times by far, than anything that socialism has ever accomplished. So just look at the fruit of it. The fruit, socialism collapsed in the Soviet Union in 1989 to 1991, and we all thought it was dead. I mean, the joke was up, right? The gulags were opened. And now that's all been forgotten because it's been whitewashed.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're no different than Germany in 1933. We need to heed George Orwell, who was a socialist himself, who spoke up in his 1984 book, and he gave a specific statement. I mean, I have in front of me where he said, you just simply take away their books. You take away their freedom. You will nobody except what the party says is true. That is where we are today.
Wow. Is it too late for the nation to reverse course?
No, I don't believe it is. Because I've been out doing seminars for 45 years. I've been out teaching these principles for that long, around in 49 states and 6 countries. And I find that the people are very receptive. They love America. The vast majority of people love this country. They don't want to go to a civil war or a war. They don't want to lose their freedoms, and they don't want to lose the Constitution. So I would say 80% of the people are there in terms of their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Their heads aren't there, and their commitments are not there.
Yeah.
That's going to take an awakening. It's going to mean, on our part, repentance, where what have we individually done? How have we educated our own children? How have we lived our own lives? How are we spending our money and our time? In the midst of a revolution that could be over in a few years, a revolution that will determine whether your children grow up and have any freedom or not, where is the church? Where are the Christians? We're the largest single minority in the country. We've got to stand up, but we have to know what we're standing for. We're not standing for a party, one or the other. We're standing for eternal principles of right. This is what George Washington said. What hope is there for God to bless us if we fail to obey the eternal principles of right?
Hmm.
He knew in his farewell address, that is our only hope. So if we come back, and I believe we will, I believe we're going to see a great awakening. There's a huge prayer rally coming in September 26th in Washington, D.C. And there's prayer going throughout the country. There's an awakening like on your program and in many other places as I'm speaking now across the country. People are saying, wow, I haven't heard that. Well, you know, a lot of us have been saying for a lot of years, but now we're listening.
Yeah.
People are saying, wow, we better listen. And as we listen, then we make changes. Make changes in our time, our money, and how we can peacefully restore this nation. Because guess what? Every day the Constitution comes out of a bomb-proof vault next to the Declaration of Independence and Magna Carta.
Hmm.
And in our national archives. And it's not gone yet. Nobody's taken it away. We can simply go back to those principles and to that Gutenberg Bible that is the only book in our national library that sits in the central huge entryway across from the Congress. And that is the first printed Bible, the Gutenberg Bible. That Bible is the center of America's success. And if we come back to the Bible in our own hearts, if we come back to the Constitution, we'll vote right this fall. But it is an emergency. It's an emergency, Jim.
Right.
This is not something to give as just a radio interview. It is a warning, a prophetic warning. Listen now.
Dr. Marshall Foster, our guest today, and so many of these principles are covered in the book Land That I Love by Bobby Ames. And Ames is A-M-E-S and available at NordskogPublishing.com. We'd like to open our phone lines. Our number here, the crosstalk, is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Dr. Foster, if you would, just share a word about the judiciary itself, how the judiciary has changed this nation. I mean, we see the decision that came out this morning again. We have seen the institution of so-called same-sex marriage and so many other things from this court as well. How has this, the impact of the judiciary as you see it upon this nation? It seems like we've done away what we once knew as separation of powers.
Well, absolutely. The weakest of the branches, according to the Constitution, by far was the Supreme Court and the entire court structure. and it even had checks and balances on it. But what has happened is that the court has, because the Congress, wanting to have power but not wanting to make the decision often on controversial issues, wanted the courts to make the decision for them. So they packed the court. And you pack the court with your worldview and then have nine people determine the morality, the character, and the laws of the people. That was never meant to be. Our laws and our Constitution was not to be overturned by nine members of a court. That was never meant. It was not in the Constitution. But what has happened is now they are making law. They're not just judging upon the fundamental principles of the Constitution.
Okay.
They now make moral law, whether you can have homosexual marriage or not, whether or not you can kill babies or not, whether whatever the issue is, these nine people determine those issues, regardless of what anyone else thinks, regardless of what the legislators pass or the people think. And so we, the people, have given over our authority to those nine men. Again, it's time to wake up. Limit their authority. Get people in there that are originalists. Two more might do it as a start, but we might need a complete rehash here. But to do that, we're going to have Christian people and American people standing up first by voting for limited government and the limitation of Supreme Court power.
Let's go to Phoenix, Arizona. We have Manny calling in. Hi, Manny. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
So I wanted to say, you know, I know you asked about the your guest on can we reverse this. I think it was possible if it was earlier, but the way I see and how the Bible is fulfilling it says the whole world would unite and the whole world would be given over, you know, to the Antichrist. My thing is like, I don't think as us as Christians should fight, you know, I don't even think we should be wasting our time necessarily with arguing with liberals, arguing, you know, with Democrats, because what's coming is written and what's coming has to happen. I think the only thing we can do today is prepare ourselves spiritually, because regardless whether we want it to change or not, America will be part, you know, of a global union as well.
Manny, I want to get our guests some time to respond prior to our next break, which is a minute away, and I thank you for the call. I'll just say this. I'm so glad Jonah never gave up, but he obeyed what God told him to do. Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. Judgment was coming, but because Nineveh turned and repented, God spared that city during that time. And who knows, Dr. Foss will have you comment here, such a time as this, God has each of us here. We know it's a spiritual battle, but we're here for such a time as this.
Well, absolutely. And we don't know the timing of the Lord's coming. What a big mistake and how historically ignorant will we be is we decided that it's time for the Lord to come. So let's damn our children to the prison camp because we think there's not enough time to save it. And I'm not saying spend our time just arguing with Democrats. I'm saying we need to spend our time in every area of life bringing biblical principles back as best we can, so the gospel can go out to the nation, so the people in the world can be saved. You know, we don't give up on God's world. We don't give up on reaching the world. The Great Commission is not ended yet.
Right.
But the Lord's coming is not here yet. And so our job is to be faithful to our calling.
Great. Thank you, Manny, for the call. We're up against the break. Occupy till I come. We are to be salt. We are ought to be light. And certainly that's our challenge for us today. Well, we'll be taking a break back with more of your calls following with Dr. Marshall Foster. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. The Bible says that good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. Today, we are increasingly living in a politically correct culture, and we've learned a long time ago that political correctness is really cultural Marxism. And the goal? The destruction of truth, right, wrong. The blurring of lines. Not just the destruction of right and wrong, but the elevation of what is wrong. And anyone who speaks truth is to be destroyed, fired, their life completely destroyed. Right now we have a retired general who's highly decorated, who's supposed to be going into a major policy position inside the Pentagon, but he's under assault. Why? because he dared to tweet that Islam, quote, is one of the most oppressive, violent religions, end quote. Wow. That's now considered unacceptable. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Marshall Foster with us. We've been discussing Bobby Ames' book, Land That I Love, available through NordskogPublishing.com. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Waukegan, Illinois. Douglas, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just wondering if you could describe a little bit more. I don't think you really answered the question of what does the socialist America look like. Could you break that down and give us some details as far as What's it going to look like to these kids? Are they going to lose their jobs? Are the people going to lose their home? Are they going to lose their personal property? Are they going to lose their retirement? Are they going to lose their cars or license? Are they going to only the top 1% of the students going to go to college?
Okay. Thank you, Douglas. Dr. Foster.
Yes, to all of those. You stated them one by one, but that's what people are concerned about. They're missing some of the bigger things that happen. They may have a vote, but the vote won't count because it'll all be controlled. So no matter how you vote, the same people will get elected. The power base will shift in everything to the government. The free enterprise system will be slowly dismantled and destroyed and picked apart. In the meantime, prosperity will go down by, who knows, 50, 80%. People will either lose their homes or be living in crowds in homes and trying to perhaps get groceries by building something on their lawn. I mean, you know, growing some food. Everything will be, you'll be poor. There'll be no more large vacations. There'll be no more going away to college. There'll be no more of this. It'll all be gone. You'll be living as every other socialist state has ever lived in tyranny. And that's where we're headed. There's no alternative to a biblically based republic other than tyranny.
Perhaps the most modern classroom example is look how fast Venezuela turned, and from a very rich, prosperous economy to one that is, you know, bankrupt, morally as well as financially.
Europe is going the same way. Europe is disbanding politically, economically, and is facing even worse than we are right now.
Let's go next to Samuel, calling in from Chandler, Arizona. Samuel, you're on the air.
My call. My question is Wirth's opinion and why a Marxist, a socialist, or a fascist? And I will take your call.
I'm sorry, what is your exact question? The difference between those?
No, which is worse?
Oh, which is
and
worse?
Why?
Okay. Which is worse, fascism, socialism, or Marxism, and why, Dr. Foster?
Those are all terms that are used depending on who they want to brainwash. If you are in Germany, you might at one point be a fascist, and then you will put down the socialists because those socialists are terrible over there in Russia. We don't want anything to do with them. But in reality, you were socialist before. You just changed terminology. But in both cases, whether you were in the Soviet Union or whether you were in Germany, it resulted in the same thing, and that is that people went off to the gulag and they went off to the prison camps. So that's where we're headed. If we go that route, it's a term. Look at the worldview that is behind each of these, and you'll find they're both evil. There is either good or evil, right or wrong. Ronald Reagan said it well. We're either going to go to the joys of living under the rule of law, under God, or we're going to go to the ant heap of totalitarianism. He said it's not right or left. Our decision in America is not right or left. It's up or down. It's, we're going to do it either God's way, and that's going to be self-government, where we don't have a king because we govern ourselves, or we're going to become little peons to some monster who is going to tell us how to eat, who to marry, and how to live for millennia into the future.
Wow.
You want.
Thank you, Samuel, for the call. Dick is next in Washington. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. What bothers me, well, is a number of things. First thing is, as long as we continue murdering babies by the abortion method, we're not going to change our descent to hell that we're in now. Another thing is the violation of the Covetous Act of the Constitution. What is socialism? Socialism is people wanting others to pay for their existence. And if we get back to our basic things, the Declaration of Independence, which is totally in violation of the Constitution, I mean of abortion, and covetous part of the Ten Commandments. We have to get back to those two items before we can change this descent of this country. Thank you.
Any comment here, Dr. Foster?
We agree completely. It is an internal thing. He's saying go back to these fundamental principles, but we can't just be about the anti-abortion movement, the pro-life movement. We have to be about the entire worldview and the form of government and saving the country, because the average person out there doesn't understand a one issue, a one-off. He wants to know, what is this whole thing? And we need to see it lived out by us. We need to start at the local level. We need to get at it and start tomorrow morning learning these principles. That's why Land That I Love, the book, is so important. And materials you can get from the World History Institute are important. Come to us. We've got lots of educational materials. We need to learn these truths.
Yeah, give us your website, Dr. Foster.
Oh, it is worldhistoryinstitute.org. .com. Most people use .com. worldhistoryinstitute.com.
Okay.
And there you can get all the materials and sign up for our email journal. It comes out. It details all these issues.
Oh, it's we're going to try and squeeze one more call in. Ohio, Michelle, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is along the same lines as about three or four callers ago. While I agree with you, Luke 19:13, we got to occupy till he comes. I'm concerned that we're not believing the word for what it says. There are signs about when mm-hmm. he's coming. And what is Dr. Foster's thoughts on? You know, he said this generation shall not pass.
Tell you what, we're down to less than 30 seconds. You're developing a whole new area here right now that we can't get into. But indeed, some comment here about our involvement in such a time as this, Dr. Foster.
Well, again, I think it comes down to that we need to look back to look forward. And we need to understand that God has placed us on this earth. He gave us the cultural commission, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the world. Then he told us the Great Commission under Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
That's our job.
And
as we do, we'll bring liberty wherever we go.
Yeah, and that Great Commission never has a clause that says stop when this occurs. That is that continuous action of going and making disciples. And that's what we have for such a time as this. Dr. Marshall Foster, our guest, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, brother. It's great to be with you.
WorldHistoryInstitute.com, NordskogPublishing.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from CrosstalkAmerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.